Welcome to Third Floor Views, a production of Chesapeake Family Life, where we talk about health, education, and living with kids. I'm your host, Janet Jefferson. Today, we're talking about mom milestones, and joining us is Grace Ferris, a doctor, mother of two sons, and cartoonist, and author of the new book, Mom Milestones, The True Story of the First 7 Years. Thank you so much, Grace, for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Janet. It's really exciting to be here.
So Grace, I want to jump right in and just start from the beginning. And can you tell us just a little bit about the book? Can you tell us about Mom Milestones and what it is? Because I know it's a little bit different than maybe your average book about being a mom or parenting.
Yes. Okay. Well, I have it here. Here it is. And you may be able to see. So it's all illustrated. It is a visual love letter to moms and caregivers. And it was meant to be a place to go to find some levity and joy and humor, and maybe also like a little bit of emotion. But, you know, I love parenting guides, and I consume a ton of like parenting books and look at a lot of parenting articles on the internet, but sometimes it makes me feel like anxious or like I'm not doing a good job. And so this is really meant to be more of a place to go to have like some fun and find community. So it's modeled after like a baby milestone book because, I mean, so when I was pregnant, I read all the pregnancy books and then my son was born. This was 10 years ago. And then I realized, oh my gosh, like now all of the books are about baby stuff. And, you know, there had been this big focus on the mom beforehand. And then it kind of becomes all baby stuff, which makes sense because you have lots of questions. But I still kind of wanted something that tracked, you know, the development once you became a mom. And so this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek look at it. So it's like if, you know, baby's one day old, baby can barely open its eyes. It's like mom is one day old and she can barely open her eyes. and so that's kind of that's the structure of it.
I love it. I definitely relate because after becoming a mom and then sort of making it through the first year and then going to other first birthday parties, I was like, forget the baby. This should really be all about the parents because the kid doesn't know what's going on. But for the parents, it's like, you made it. You made it a whole year. We should be giving gifts to the parents in celebration and less to the child. Because I think, you know, that mile marker of being a whole year worth of parenting is a really big deal. So I love the idea of having these milestones for parents as well for kids. So what gave you the idea of creating this book? And maybe we should even go backwards a little bit and talk a little bit about the cartoons that you have been creating for a really long time and are posting on Instagram. How did you get started with cartooning? Because I know it's not your main day job.
Yeah, well, so maybe this is too much information, but I started off as I started drawing a comic strip in college that was autobiographical, and it was like similar in tone to like the Kathy comics. I had grown up reading those, and it was about my love life in college. It was very autobiographical. I didn't have much of a love life, so it's like clear what it was about. And then I went to medical school, which I'd always wanted to do and had been planning to do. And I was still drawing and, you know, doing creative expression, like painting when I got a chance during vacations and whatnot. And then when I started working as a hospitalist, which is the kind of doctor I am, it was about the time that this group called the Graphic Medicine Collective were starting to explore how we could bring comics into talking about healthcare. And so that pulled me back into this world of comics. And I started drawing comics for one of the medical journals in my field. And then we moved to New York City, which was a huge switch. You know, I'm from Texas. I had been in Boston and I thought like Boston, New York, same thing. I had two small children and it was like, no, not the same thing. It was very intense to move there with like two little kids. You know, my younger one was one at the time. And so that's when I started posting motherhood comics on Instagram, because I was kind of working through that transition. And I think like times of transition, you know, you always have like I think creative expression is like very helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always been very helpful, like when I've been stressed out, like in the medical training. And then also, you know, with motherhood, I think it's been helpful to like, as a way of like reflecting and examining, especially a lot of the, you know, shame and guilt that sometimes you have when you're a mom. So that's how I ended up drawing these motherhood comics. And then after a while, like when I started off, I definitely thought, you know, like the things that my kids were saying or what was happening, I felt like it was very unique to me. And now I know, because now I talk to people like all over the world through Instagram, and it's like almost anything, no matter how idiosyncratic it seems, like probably that's happening like on a large scale throughout the world. So it's like your kid is like not flushing the toilet, or, you know, like asking for a ton of snacks at bedtime, like all of that stuff is like actually very universal. So I think that's been helpful. So having that community, like definitely like guided the development of the book, I think.
Mm-hmm. So then how did you decide what moments to include in the book? Because what you just listed there, I find so relatable. I'm like, yes, those are my struggles too. But yet those are so mundane. Like this is, you know, the everyday kind of stuff. But then that's also often the really funny stuff. So how did you decide what moments to actually include in the book?
Oh, that's a good, well, so initially, you know, I have a great editor, thank goodness, because I probably would have had like, you know, at one point she was like, you know, Grace, maybe tone it down with all the bedtime and sleep and nap time topics. She's like, you've had several chapters where you have bedtime jokes and naps and mom taking a nap. And so she's like, maybe you need to reel that in. So I think like, I can definitely go heavier on like, I think bedtime's like a huge thing in our house, you know, everywhere it's a huge thing. It's like, even though you do it almost exactly the same way most nights, every night it's as if the kids are like, wait, what? Like, you're like, this is what we do every night. So that, you know, there's just like so many opportunities for, you know, different topics. And I've really enjoyed like examining, you know, picking them up like little rocks and like examining, you know, and it's interesting to see how they change like over the years too.
Definitely. Yeah. Cause the book covers everything from sort of from birth to elementary school. And then do you talk a little bit about pregnancy? Do you start there? Or do you really start from day one?
I have a little bit like a before, you know, I think the chapters like before mom was born. So it's like what things she's doing to prepare, you know, like maybe she's looking at adoption papers, or maybe she's at a bookstore, like taking her time, you know, or she's like, you know, grocery shopping, which is a very leisurely activity. And so it's a little bit of that. And then a little bit of like kind of the how I thought the birth would go and how it went, but mostly it picks up like after the baby's born and after mom is kind of born into this new identity.
What does your creative process look like? So when you're sitting down to do a comic or an image, you know, what does that look like for you? And, you know, do you come to the table with ideas already? Like as you're going about your day, are you constantly thinking about what you're going to work on? Or like, what does your process look like?
Yeah. Well, so I used to do these almost always like in the evening after the kids went to bed, which is probably why there was a lot of bedtime stuff. But yes, I take a lot of like voice memos on my phone to my notes section. So if something happens during the day that I think is kind of interesting, or like, or one of the kids says something that's funny. And I used to, I mean, I've learned now that you have to like be really descriptive in those, because sometimes like I would have notes that say like asparagus or something. I don't know what I thought was funny earlier today. But so now I know like you have to like, and my kids sometimes hear me saying like, Siri, take a memo, you know, because I want to remember like verbatim how things went. But and then sometimes it's more like just riffing on a topic. And so if I have been doing a lot of bedtime, I'll try to think about like what other things, like, oh, I'm cleaning out the fridge, or like I have, you know, aspirations to clean out the fridge. Like, how has it come to this that I have aspirations of like cleaning out the fridge?
Yes, yes, I definitely can relate to that as well. And you're like, oh man, this is not what I thought adulthood was going to be like as a child. Anyways, I had these beautiful dreams and now my dreams are of cleaning out the fridge as well. So what advice do you have maybe for other artists or maybe even kids that might be listening today on how to be a successful artist or author? And you've already mentioned something that I thought was a great idea is to, you know, take a voice memo in your phone. So while you're in the moment having these ideas to document them, but what other advice might you have for new artists or even other artists who've been struggling for a while on how to be successful?
I think, one thing, so when I started these motherhood comics, I didn't start out thinking like, oh, this is going to be a daily practice, or I'm going to make it at a certain time every day. But over a few months, and I went to like an author talk, and I think maybe a couple of author talks, and I don't ever remember there being like a moment where I was like, I am going to start doing this daily. But it definitely like bubbled up, I guess, because I did start doing it daily, like at the same time. And I think that in retrospect, like that was probably like very, having that practice, like getting into the habit of it, was really helpful, especially when it came down to like writing the book, and not feeling like, oh, I have to have like a lightning bolt of inspiration or something. But it's just like, oh, I know if I sit down, you know, I can just like riff on things. And definitely, I mean, for comics and cartooning, you know, you don't need things to like look perfect. And sometimes it's like more, you know, more relatable or charming or compelling when they don't look perfect. And so when your kind of line is shaky, you know, and you can tell that the artist like maybe drank a lot of coffee or, you know, so I think definitely not looking for perfection or just kind of exploring what emotion or topic you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Did you create a lot of new pieces for the book, or were you able to pull some of your work that you'd done previously and had posted on Instagram?
Most of them are new. It's, I think it's, you know, it's like 220 pages, and about 20 of them are like the very popular ones from Instagram that I definitely wanted to like have them, you know, in a physical place, because they were ones that resonated a lot. But I thought, I thought it'd be nice to have like new content, and also in the way that it's written, some of it has to be geared towards different ages. So, but yeah, I mean, it was so fun. Cartooning and making comics is just like very neat because, you know, it's not like sitting down to write an essay. It's not like sitting down to do an oil painting. It's like this very interesting interplay between the pictures and the words.
Who would you say that this book is for? Because I know it's thinking about parenting milestones, and you've already talked about, you know, what the process of becoming a parent, you know, is it adoption or is it, are you giving birth to this child? You know, is this for just moms? Is this for dads? Is this for dog moms or dads? You know, who do you see this book for?
Well, I mean, so my dad did ask, where's the chapter on dads? But, you know, I think initially when I was coming up with it, it was going to be called something different. It was going to be called Parenting Apparently. And so I was thinking of it as being more parenting focused. But then with this idea of doing the development of like the mom identity, it became more mom focused. So I definitely think it's written for mothers, although I have heard from a lot of like caregivers, like grandparents, and then also dads who you know, say, oh yeah, I've experienced a lot of these. And then what's interesting, which I did not expect, because I have, you know, I have a 7 and a 10-year-old, but they're not huge readers. So I would never have known, but I have a lot of friends who have precocious, like first and second graders. And so I get photos of kids reading it, which I never thought would happen. My kids could not care less. And the only like caveat I will give is that there is a section on the tooth fairy like later in the book. So, you know, beware.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah. It's so funny. It's like, oh no, like are all of our parenting secrets now spilled?
Yes. trade secrets. Like they're all looking for the trade secrets.
Oh, that's so funny. So when you were writing this, what was one of your goals for the book? What are you hoping that readers are taking away? You've mentioned before that, you know, part of it is to be sort of light and funny, but then you also do dive into some deeper topics as well. So what were you thinking when, as like your finished product, what are you hoping readers are going to be able to take away from that?
I think I was hoping that it would be something that you might pick up when you're either feeling like frustrated or, you know, there's so many times like when you're mom that you feel kind of lonely. And like, I think at the beginning, it's like you're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're like, oh, this is, you know, I'm not talking to anyone. Maybe at best case scenario, you're like texting with someone or messaging with somebody who's also up. But yeah, it's meant for those times that you're feeling kind of isolated or, you know, or just when you're like interested in reflecting on motherhood or parenting, but you don't have the energy to, you know, read something that's really dense, or you don't have the time, or you're sitting with your kids and they're, you know, watching Daniel Tiger or something like that. So it's meant to be this kind of like respite go to.
Yeah, almost like quick conversation with the best friend, something that's sort of rejuvenating and makes you walk away feeling a little bit better about your situation.
Yeah.
What do you think, as a mother, as especially a working mother, what do you think some of the biggest challenges are for moms today?
Oh, I mean, today of all days, well, I mean, like the formula shortage, I think is so stressful to read about. I think, you know, I had like a okay-ish breastfeeding journey with my kids, but I still, I mean, went back to work when they were two and a half months old. And then, you know, it's hard to keep up when you're at work. And so you have to use formula also, which is not the end of the world. But, you know, if I had a baby right now, I'd be so stressed out. So, I think like there's that whole component of like, even in the best, you know, I have a job that's really cool and very interesting. And I was fortunate when I went back to work the first time, a bunch of people I worked with had also just had babies. So there was this built-in community. But you know, you don't always have that. And sometimes you have a lot of ambivalence, I think, about going back to work, especially when you have like a really tiny baby, even like, you know, that you go back to work before a lot of daycares will accept babies. Yeah. So even that, that's bonkers. So there are those challenges. I think, you know, I think the guilt definitely seems like it gets a little bit better over the years. You know, now the kids are 10 and 7 and I don't feel it as intensely. Although I guess you'll always feel that feeling of like, you want to be in two places at once. You know, I've had like professional conferences or meetings or things where it wasn't something I didn't want to go to. It was something I was interested in, but then also the kids have like a recital or something like that, you know, and you're like, these are both good options and I'm very grateful and privileged, but I think you always have to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many challenges. And you're right, you know, whether it be looking at the headlines today and everyone who's facing the formula crisis or that mom guilt, which I think you're right. I think it does get less, but it never goes away. And trying to just to balance everything, like you said, whether it be work commitments or home commitments. And there's so many challenges. So with that, what words of wisdom would you give to a fellow mom today, or when you're thinking about your book and reflecting on the pieces that made it into the book, like what big advice pieces that you feel like made it there and that you'd like to pass on?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Cause each chapter kind of ends with a few notes to self, which I definitely meant as notes to self because it's, you know, I don't want it to feel preachy or like I'm telling somebody to do something, but things that I, you know, would have written to myself at these different stages. And I think, I mean, one of the big lessons that I have definitely taken away, especially from the Instagram community and getting feedback on the book, is like, even though it feels like you're very isolated and doing things by yourself and you're often like reinventing the wheel, you know, you're like researching camps, even which is like something every mom has to do all the time, you know, researching childcare and whatnot. But like so much of it, you're not alone. Like so many people are dealing with this and having like challenging times. Everyone's having, you know, challenges in their relationships. Everyone's having different types of drama, you know, with their own parents and in-laws. And so, I mean, I think it just needs to be said that like these, you know, it feels very like, you know, unique. And like, it's only happening to you and everybody else like has it together or like, but it, I mean, it's just so universal, I think.
Yeah. And I think especially with the pandemic, when we were forced into isolation and just now I feel like starting to reemerge in a more meaningful way, but that isolation of motherhood has been there the entire time. I think American society is, as you've pointed out before, it doesn't always provide the best social safety nets for moms. And so it can feel really isolating. And then the pandemic only made that worse. So having, I feel like a book like this, or reminding yourself that there are these networks that moms can tap into for support and for help and advice is really helpful. And it's really a great reminder that we're not alone and that we can do this together and hopefully make it a little bit easier. So I was wondering, what are some of your personal favorite parts of the book and that you would just, you know, love to share that like you wouldn't want to leave out, or maybe that are sort of personal that you're like, oh my gosh, like I had to put this in, even though it's kind of silly, but I just like, this is my favorite for this reason.
Oh, well, one of them that I wrote specifically for the book is about kindergarten mom. Let me see, I'm going to try to pull it up. You know, my kids, I think, you know, have been in childcare for ages and they've been in daycare and preschool. And so I did not expect that kindergarten would feel like that different, you know, because they've been in these kinds of settings before. And then when my older son went to kindergarten, I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, this is, just feels monumental. I think it's kind of like the first birthday. And so, I think I'll just hold it up. I don't know. It's your first day of kindergarten. And I like it because it's kind of like how the book is, where it's like in turning around this theme of like advice for kids about, you know, their development. And it's a, you know, advice to mom. And so it has a picture of the mother and it says, on your first day of kindergarten, you might have some big feelings, and the mom has a tear in her eye. And then it says, it might help to set out your clothes the night before. I have very clear memory of setting out, or like thinking about what I was going to wear to the first. Maybe that's nerdy. And then the teacher is excited to meet you and your family. And so that has the mom and her child meeting the teacher. And then it says the first day will go by so fast. And at the end, the child's showing the mom a drawing that the kid made. And so I like that one because I feel like that's all the advice that, you know, articles say to tell your kid, but really you also might need to tell it to yourself. So it's a little bit goofy, but yeah, I mean, these moments, like, I think it's nice to kind of celebrate them and remember how significant they were.
Yeah, definitely. And I think too that, especially as parents, you know, with either your first child or your only child, you know, you are so new and you don't know what to expect. And like you said, like you didn't know that kindergarten was going to feel that way because your child had been in childcare the whole time. And so it's such a steep learning curve, especially with that oldest child, because you're like, oh man, you're my guinea pig and we're just like figuring this out together. And I think that is such a good reminder too, that you're always learning. You're always learning as a parent, and it's always going to feel new to a certain degree as your child goes through different stages or phases. And so having a resource, whether it be friends or family or a book or something to tap into for those moments where you're just like, I can't believe I'm here again. I thought I had this thing figured out, but really every day is a new experience. So I think that's great. So Grace, you just published this book and that's so exciting. Now what's next?
Oh, next. Well, so there is a calendar coming out in, I guess, a week or two. It's called Mom's Family Calendar. It's very cute. It's like 17 months, and it has different illustrations than the book, but kind of themes are very similar. You know, one of the very popular themes that I do on Instagram from time to time is momsters. So like things that you say where people think that you're a momster, you know. Sometimes it's like, I'm setting a 5-minute timer, that kind of thing. So there's some momsters in it. So that's coming, and I'm working on the next version of that calendar for the like 2024 period. And then what else is next? I'm going to see, like, I have to figure out, you know, what the next book will look like. You know, I would love to do more, like more stages for the kids, but that's tricky because now it's like you're getting into, you know, tween and teen stuff. So it's a little more sensitive. So I'd have to think about how to handle that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure your kids will sort of help shepherd you through the process as well as they grow up and continue to teach you. And I feel like, yeah, the kids are often as much the teacher as the parent is, constantly, as I said, learning from each other.
Definitely. Yes.
Oh, goodness. Well, thank you so much, Grace Ferris. Grace is author of Mom Milestones. Thank you also to all of our viewers and listeners today. Make sure that you visit ChesapeakeFamily.com for local up-to-date information on home, health, and living for today's Maryland parent. This episode will be archived on ChesapeakeFamily.com in both video and podcast format. I'm Janet Jefferson with Chesapeake Family Life and Third Floor Views. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Janet.